Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Do a short intro here. All right, today is September 25th, 2002. I'm with Stephen Johnson for the Pew interview, some biomedical interview. We'll start with something fairly simple. What is your full name and when were you born?
Stephen Lloyd Johnson, and I was born December 26th. 1960.
Okay. And tell me a little bit, and where were you born?
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. And did you live there for most of your childhood?
I lived there till I was about 2.
Oh, really? And then where did the family move?
We moved to Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. And is that where you spent most of your childhood?
Yes. I stayed there till I was 25.
All right. So I take it you don't remember too much about Cleveland.
I don't remember anything about Cleveland.
Okay. And what was it like growing up? This is a big question, but were you in the city itself, Nashville, or were you in sort of the suburbs? Or
I was in the suburbs, out in the hilly part of the suburbs. It was, I guess you'd say, very isolated.
Right.
No stores nearby, nothing really, you know, you play on big lots and ride bicycles, but mm-hmm. nothing to get in trouble with.
Right. Tell me a little bit about your family. Maybe we can start with your grandparents.
My grandparents. On my father's side, they're from the southeast, Florida and Georgia. My grandfather, I didn't know. I think he died a year or two before I was born.
Right.
He was an electrical worker, a lineman for the railroad. I don't think he went to college. And so very, I guess you'd say, working class. My grandmother was, I think she was a nurse and maybe some education. And she had gone to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then she died when I was like 8. So I only vaguely remember her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my father's parents. My mother's parents, her father died when she was something like 8 or 10, and they were here in Los Angeles. And then her mother remarried, and my step-grandfather just died less, about 2 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and he had moved back to Arkansas. He was, I guess you'd call, an entrepreneur. He tried to develop businesses or do real estate,
mm-hmm.
and was sort of a loose cannon, and my grandmother kept him under control.
In what way a loose cannon? Speculation?
He would speculate, and he would give money away to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, after my grandmother died, giving away or losing all of his money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he moved back to Arkansas and lived in where he grew up, in the Ozarks, and lived in a trailer until he died, well, in like he was 88 or something when he died.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting life.
Yeah.
And so your mother's mother?
My grandmother, what did she do? She did go to college. She went to, where did she? My grandfather had gone to Berkeley. I don't know if she went to college or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe she did. She did some of the real estate business with him, and she also ran a dress store. They started out in Los Angeles. During the war, she married my step-grandfather. Mm-hmm. They moved to Livermore, and then he joined, I guess, the Air Force, but maybe it was the Navy. And then after the war, they moved to Tracy, California. Mm-hmm. And then she opened a dress store there.
All right. How about your parents? How about your father? What is your father's name, to get it on record?
My father's name is Lee Ensign Johnson.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about him. Where was he born? What did he do?
He was born in a small railroad station where my grandfather was working on the railroad in Tennessee. I think it was Norris, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But he grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. So born in the Depression. And then they moved, I think they moved to where my grandmother's family had been in McDonough, Georgia, during the Depression, and then they moved to Jacksonville during the war. He's an electrical engineer. He went to Vanderbilt for engineering school, and he went on an ROTC or some sort of thing with the Navy, because after he graduated from school, he was in the Navy for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Then when he got out of the Navy, he went back to Nashville and went to Divinity School at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And I think he had always planned on being a preacher, but he paid his way through Divinity School by teaching electrical engineering at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And then he got to the point where he had to decide what he wanted to do. And I think and Vanderbilt said, look, if you'll just go get a PhD, we'll hire you on full time. Mm-hmm. So he went to Case Western in Ohio to get his PhD and then came back.
Right. And so, is that what he did for the rest of his life then?
Was it and that's what he's... He just retired a year or two ago, and he's continuing to teach a class or so.
Hmm. Now, did he see action when he was in the military?
No, I don't think he saw any action. He was based in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and in a shipyard, so I think he just saw stuff about building ships, mm-hmm. or whatever they do.
Right. And how would you describe him, and what is he like in terms of personality?
He's very gregarious, much more than any of his kids. So he's much easier going with strangers. Maybe that just came with old age, I'm not sure. What else is he like? He's very demanding.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
That either his kids or his students work hard and do well.
Mm-hmm. So high expectations.
High expectations.
Mm-hmm. And did he have, when you were growing up, did he have hobbies? Did he do, I don't know, join groups? Was he a...
Let's see, his hobby was to get from the library or buy books on warships.
Oh, really?
And then read them and take notes on them. And he's got massive collections of books on warships and collections of notes.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Does he still do that?
I don't think he still does.
So, an expert in warships. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your mom. What is her name?
Her name was Donna Simpson Johnson. She died in, I guess it was 1992, of breast cancer.
Right.
And so she's from California, and she met my father when he was in the Navy in San Francisco. I think they met through some church youth group.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the one who probably really wanted to be a preacher.
Really?
But they couldn't be preachers back then.
Uh-huh.
Or that is, women couldn't be preachers back then. So I think she felt like she was raised to be a preacher's wife. So when they got married, so she had her undergraduate degree from College of the Pacific in psychology. When they got married, and moved back to Nashville. She went in and got her master's in psychology, and then started having kids. And then as we were growing up, she volunteered first with the school system, and then went back to school herself and got her PhD, and then was a psychologist for the school system.
Mm-hmm. And how would you describe her personality?
Mm. Now, she had high expectations. She was like my grandmother.
Right.
Very high expectations. So she's much friendlier, like my father's gregarious but doesn't have that many close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother had lots and lots of close friends, but I wouldn't say it was that gregarious.
Hmm. And in what way, I mean, did you know that she had high expectations? How did that show itself? For both of them, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. So with my father, it'd be more him talking about his students and what bums they were.
Mm-hmm.
With my mother, it was just, she could be very disappointed and you would know it.
Right, right. All right. What traits do you believe you inherited from your mother and father? Let's maybe start with your mother, if any. Other than the genetic, obviously.
I guess I have very high expectations,
mm-hmm,
of other people. Or rather, I tend to, now that I've been running a lab of my own for about 6 years and employ quite a lot of people, I'm getting much more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I? I definitely don't have the gregariousness of my father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what else.
And could you describe, and again, this maybe is a hard question, but describe maybe the household as a whole. What was it like growing up in the Johnson household? Was it fairly regimented? Was it sort of show up when you show up? What was it like?
I guess it was fairly regimented. So we were out in a suburb without too many ways to get into trouble.
Right.
One
of the temptations of the city. Right.
They were very far. So until we could drive ourselves, there wasn't too much we could do. We could bike around a little bit, but our schools were all several miles away. So, like until, I don't know, 12 or 14, it was really, we played with each other or read lots of books or fought with each other, but we were there.
Right.
Most of the time. And it's not quite that bad. I mean, we did.
Right.
They're not that sterile. We all played musical instruments, and I imagine that meant we were running around quite a bit doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, we were all at home for dinner.
Yeah. And you say are, because there must be siblings in there as well, your brothers and sisters.
So there were four of us. You saw my brother.
Right.
I have a sister, and I have a twin brother.
Okay. And talk a little bit about the siblings. Where are you in those four, among those four, range-wise?
So I'm in the middle. So okay. Lee's the oldest. My brother and I are the middle. And then I have a younger sister.
Mm-hmm. And who did you tend to gravitate towards? I know, for instance, I grew up with two sisters, and the one who was closest to me in age, about a year, I guess, older than I was. We were always together, and the older sister tended to be sort of the surrogate mom. She got stuck with us when my mom got tired of
Well, I guess, obviously, my twin, because we were, you know, physically, there was just... We were doing all the same things.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned biking, reading. Were those some of the main activities that you did then when you were growing up?
Yeah.
How did you spend your time?
As a kid, we would bike a little or play. I actually can't quite remember what we would do that age, but probably just riding a bike around the neighborhood or playing in the yard or... Reading. We all read quite a lot.
Right. And what kind of books did you read? Or magazines or whatever?
Let's see. I suspect a lot of science fiction and mystery novels and probably... Just about anything. So when we were, this will give you an idea about my mother. She was a psychologist. When we were about six, when I was about six, at that point she had, I think she was volunteering a lot with the schools, so she had a maid come in once a week. So this was in the South, so it was a black maid in the segregated South. So that means that there was, they were probably poor. I don't know if we understood that or not. And probably disadvantaged. And I think my mother made sure we understood that.
Mm-hmm.
So we would do practice books in math or things like that. And when we were done, it would go to the maid's kids. And I don't know if we ever really saw the outcome of this, but... My mother always made it really clear that the maid kids were doing better than we were. Now, in retrospect, that's a little hard to believe.
Right.
Because we were a very talented group of kids, very smart. But a lot of that was because my mother just expected that. And she knew how to make sure that she got us to achieve.
Right. Right.
That's one example. Another example is at about that age, we had a choice of reading. We had to read two books or two chapters of the Bible before we could watch television in a week.
Hmm. Did you ever, was there a competition among the kids to sort of get this done, or friendly competition?
I don't think among the kids there were. It didn't last very long because we all read voraciously.
Right.
Once we learned how to read.
Yeah.
And there was some competition between my brother and me, the twin and me, and Lee. We learned to read when he learned to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we sort of goaded him into learning to read.
You say that
he's 2 years older.
2 years older. And you say that your siblings, you and your siblings, are very talented. In what way did that talentedness come through?
I guess I just mean smart, maybe not talented.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean then that you got good grades in school, or you just knew that compared to other kids maybe that you were with, that you were fairly smart?
You know, I don't think it ever really occurred to me when I was in school that we were smarter than other kids.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know when I was a graduate student that I knew how to figure to put together a whole program,
mm-hmm.
and others wouldn't. And it's not until I'm at this position that I can look back and not see that, but see among my own students, some are good and some are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you really get that
right
of your peers. Your peers are just your friends.
Yeah. When you mentioned the woman who came to take, to help your mom, more or less. And were you aware then of segregation? I mean, how aware of you as a kid of sort of racial politics, the racial situation in the South?
We weren't very aware.
Yeah.
So integration started when I was in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first year of integration. I can remember, like in the first or second grade, some of my friends talking about, or maybe third grade, in the possibility of integration.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, saying ugly things. At earlier stages, like when I was five or six, I can remember hearing talk about colored people and then being just so disappointed that they weren't colored.
Mm-hmm.
My folks were very active in the civil rights movement.
Right.
So, and my father would occasionally preach in black churches, and we would go to those churches while he's preaching, or occasionally there'd be meetings in Nashville and we'd have a bunch of black kids staying in the house. And I don't think I understood that they were black.
Mm-hmm.
I think it wasn't until later. I must have been very slow.
You usually ask about religion a little bit later, but it seems very relevant now. So, what was the impact, do you believe, of religion on you and your family?
I don't know what I want to see, but we're from sort of a family of atheist Methodists. My mother's brother did become a preacher,
mm-hmm.
and he calls himself an atheist. I don't know if that's right. He says he doesn't believe in an afterlife and things like that. Nevertheless, he calls himself a Christian. So that's sort of... And my father, too, is a very intellectual, religious, but not an emotional religious person.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, so my mother, however, actually, I think, was very much a believer and was very, you know, if we said things like, oh God, then she would say, you need to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You might go to hell for that.
Mm-hmm.
Not in those sorts of words, but you understand that she actually believed that.
Right.
But mostly religion in our house is more intellectual than emotional.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Describe yourself as a young child, and by young I mean, let's say, anywhere between 5 and 10. How would you describe yourself?
Small. Really unformed. Just a, you know, someone who was, I read a lot but didn't do much. Yeah.
Okay. Was there any interest in science at that early stage? Were your parents buying chemistry sets? And
no.
No.
My father's an engineer, but not a scientist.
Right.
And I don't think he gets science. I wasn't really interested in science until after I graduated from college. So my undergraduate degrees are in chemistry and molecular biology, but I did that because I was lazy.
What memories do you have of your early school, of your early schooling? You've already mentioned integration in fifth grade, for instance. But what other things come up? Did you have, for instance, teachers who were molding you or forming you in any way? Were there other fellow students who were important in your development, do you feel? Activities, interests, subjects.
Okay. I think until fifth grade, I remember so little of it because I think it was so boring.
Right.
Okay. So I'd say there were two things that maybe helped develop me. One was integration was really quite amazing, because instead of having a bunch of really boring kids who are all the same, you had a lot of different people.
Different classes, too.
I'll give in. There's an exception, but any exposure at that stage was better, because they pseudo-segregated us.
Pseudo in what way?
They took all the brightest kids and put them in the same classroom and kept us together for the next 8 years.
Wow. That's amazing.
So that was both good and bad.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, we split a little bit as our neighborhoods had different zonings, and we would go away for 2 years and then be back together, and then all ended up in high school together.
Right.
But by that time, we had a very intense peer group that I guess I'd say was competitive. We didn't sit there and say, I'm smart and he's dumb. We would just go, gosh, these guys are all exciting to talk to about literature or algebra or things like that.
Right.
So in fifth grade, because it was the integrated South, the segregated South, they were reluctant to fully integrate the schools, and it was really quite obvious that the brighter kids were being put tracked together. In part, they did that, and I think a lot of the parents figured this out by having all the kids who played stringed instruments had to take that course, and then that forced the rest of their schedule together.
Oh, okay.
I think that's how they actually did it. How people get around these things. And so really there's a lot to be said for having a really amazing peer group, and there's a lot to be said for having diversity. So I guess we had the best of both worlds, or at least we didn't have these horrible, boring suburb schools anymore, because we could see that people were different. We could see that you know, if you're not careful, someone's going to beat you up and take your nickel.
Mm-hmm.
We also started to see that you could, I wouldn't say break the rules, but the supervision wasn't actually always constant and there.
Mm-hmm.
And this I remember vividly, because when they started integration, they integrated us into older city schools, and those were just amazingly fun buildings to roam around in. And then we could, because they just couldn't supervise us.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. So you're hanging out then with this particular peer group, which is fascinating. You're exploring these old buildings. And you're learning quite a bit, no doubt, about your community, whether you're conscious of it or not, right, by this mm-hmm. sort of half-hearted attempt at integration. I mean, what was the mood in
your community? Yeah, imagine all these really fine kids running around these black neighborhoods.
It must have been a very interesting
time. They can't supervise because the music teacher didn't show up that day or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So what was the mood of your community about integration overall then? I mean, obviously, they're fighting. I mean, a certain segment is fighting this, which was not uncommon, as we know from the
Boston those guys system. Left the school system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bad apples dropped out. Mm-hmm. All the rednecks, bang, they're gone.
So left all the like-minded.
I guess I wouldn't say like-minded, but I would say people whose parents didn't care enough to, or couldn't afford to put them in private schools,
mm-hmm.
or kids with liberal parents, or people who thought, well, public education is still better than private education.
Right. Now, were there incidents of violence around this?
In Nashville, at that time, no, there was no real violence around integration.
Mm-hmm.
That was long after the real violence. You know what you have heard about maybe 10 years earlier.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the period you're talking about, just to make it clear, is about what, 72, 73?
72.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said that your parents were involved in civil rights. I assume part of that was going to the churches, the black churches.
Mm-hmm.
In what other ways? Were there other ways that they were involved?
I think almost all the civil rights movement was through the church
mm-hmm.
in the South.
Okay. Did they ever talk about race? Did they ever have talks with you and your brothers and sisters? Or sister?
About
race? Or was it more teaching by example, sort of?
Well, they talk about, you know, they just say, this is how it is and it's wrong and these people are equal to you and there's not a difference.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to school, other than this running around these schools, I'm very interested in that. That's interesting. and again, this peer group that you were with, what subjects were you interested in? What did you tend to do well at and enjoy?
I liked math and you know, history and English,
mm-hmm.
and I was good at some of the sciences like chemistry. I never took biology, and I took one biology course because everybody had to take it in the ninth grade, but after that I didn't take it because I didn't think it was mm-hmm. rigorous. And it was taught very poorly in the school that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
So I know.
No, just checking.
So mostly I liked the stuff that was fun, or that, you know,
mm-hmm.
most of it.
And as you sort of went on through middle school and high school, were you coming upon mentors or important teachers or new topics, new interests? Or was school pretty much something you tolerated?
Well, not... We... See, this peer group of mine, we more or less taught... You learn from your peers rather than your teachers, right. Or at least that's what I learned. I had one or two good teachers in high school, but not many.
Mm-hmm.
When we learned, it was because sometimes the teachers could figure out that they could set us challenges and that we could meet them.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And how long were you with this peer group? Was it all the way through then?
Yeah, from 5th grade to 12th grade.
Right. Are you still in touch with some of these people?
Yeah, on and off about every year or two.
Right. So in many ways, this peer group was the best part of your education, at least, until you got to college.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold up on that. What were you doing, let's say, in school as extracurricular activities? What were you doing when you weren't at, with your peer group, when you weren't at these schools?
So I guess I had two extracurricular activities that took up a lot of time. And one was music,
mm-hmm.
and the other was outdoors. So, you know, at 11, you joined the Boy Scouts, especially in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So I started camping then, and then by the time we were 14, so I guess all three of us got of the boys. Girls don't join the Boy Scouts. But all three of us got our Eagle Award before we were 14, and then we joined the next group up, which was really no longer around community service or whatever military indoctrination the Boy Scouts do.
Mm-hmm.
It was just about camping or canoeing or caving or whatever. So from 14 to 18, we essentially did something every weekend.
Right.
Once older members, like my older brother, had access to a car.
Mm-hmm. And how important was the Boy Scouts, do you feel, in your development?
I don't think the Boy Scouts was important, but I think the next step, which is this thing called Explorers, which is part of the Boy Scouts,
right.
But just being able to go out camping and being outdoors is very important.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you still do that today? I mean, still go camping? And
No, I don't have much time. I did some as a graduate student,
mm-hmm.
but once I was a postdoc, I ran out of time.
Right. That will often happen, unfortunately. Let's talk a little bit about music then, because you mentioned it a little bit earlier as well. How early did you start with your musical training?
I think I started in the 4th grade, and I played the viola. My mother apparently wanted a string quartet.
Right.
So she had two violins, a cello, and a viola.
Mm-hmm.
And I played that through 12th grade,
mm-hmm.
and then I have really not played since.
Yeah. And how important was music?
You know, it was really just, it was the ticket into this peer group.
Mm-hmm.
But because that was what got your schedule set, so that all these guys had the same classes. And maybe it helps to think mathematically, that's what the classic mathematicians would have said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but I think the major thing was just establishing this group of people whose parents wanted musicians or wanted their kids in this pseudo-segregated environment,
right.
who could feed each other.
Mm-hmm. You haven't mentioned sports. You mentioned you were small. So I'm wondering, did you? Was sports important at all in your development, other than the normal running and jumping you would do, I guess?
Yeah, I didn't do any organized sports. I played basketball in the backyard or baseball in the backyard, but nothing organized. Mm-hmm. I think I weighed like 100 pounds until I was... When I was 16, I weighed 100 pounds and was 5 feet tall.
Really?
Or something like that.
So you wouldn't know that. I mean, nobody's going to know this and listen to the tape, but what, you're about my height. You're 6 foot, aren't you?
I'm 5'11".
5'11".
And now about 190 or 195.
Right. So when you say this, it's hard to believe. So after 16, then you began to put on a little flesh, I assume.
I grew, but I when I graduated college, I was about 125.
Oh, really? Okay, in high school, how were you sizing up the future? What direction did you sort of think your life might go when you're about ready to graduate?
I thought I might want to write. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, that's all I do now. but I thought fiction or... maybe to be a historian, a scholar. Mm-hmm. And I would not call myself a scholar now.
And why not?
Because that's actually hard work. Knowing all the literature, I, in a very arrogant way, I'll say I prefer to lead. Mm-hmm. And not really know. I'm maturing into being a scholar, though, because I'm finding it more and more fun to test hypotheses, which means you have to know the literature. But so I'm joking when I say I'm not a scholar. But when I was a graduate student or early in my postdoc, I just thought that I could develop the techniques myself.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. No one's running silver.